Welcome to the service this morning. We hope it is a blessing to you. We'd like to welcome back our guest speaker, Pastor Gary Strawn. From the 1960s until his retirement, Gary served as a pastor to churches in the Western District, including Freedom, Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin Rapids, and Green Bay, as well as down in California, Hope, Indiana, and in the Eastern District, Lititz, Pennsylvania, before being elected to serve as the Eastern District President. This was during Dawn's tenure in Maryland, and she describes her relationship with Gary in those years as very supportive. She also said that whenever her church had a need, she'd get Gary on the phone, whose first question was, "So how much is this going to cost?" Followed by a sigh, and then usually a check for the full amount. In retirement, Gary continues to serve the church with preaching, leadership, and sound advice. We are grateful that he could come on short notice to fill the pulpit while Dawn continues to recover from, I think it's COVID-22 by now. So next week, we hope to have Pastor Dawn return to the pulpit, and we will receive the Lord's Supper and the joyful noise offering. So with that, please stand, if you're able, to sing our opening hymn, number 533. Now thank we all our God. Join in our responsive reading. Do not fret of the wicked, because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
God will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him.
Refrain from anger, and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off.
But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit.
Our New Testament scripture lesson is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began and has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day when I have what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, and in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Luke. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here and at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you think that the slave for doing what he was commanded? So also, when you have done all you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Please remain seated and as we sing hymn number 719, "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rob, for leading our worship this morning. I thank Pastor Don for inviting me to come and return and worship with you. I'm sorry that she's not able to be here this morning. We do pray that her recovery will be quick. I'm so glad that she's had this sabbatical and that she's been able to really grow in her faith as a result of her visits to Europe, specifically to Oberammergau. And we're grateful to Pastor Dawn for her leadership, for all that she does in this community and for this congregation. It's good to be back. There's the old story about a woman who was tired of her husband falling asleep in church. On the way home from worship, she started to scold him, but he insisted, no, I've been awake, I was awake. Very well, she said, what did the minister preach about? Well, he preached against sin, her husband answered. And what did he say about sin, she continued. Well, he was against it. So thank you, Rob, for reading this morning, read from the NRSV version. Just so you get the real thrust of the gospel lesson, I want to read it in a different version this morning, not because you may have fallen asleep at all. Rob read it well. But I want to read it from the paraphrase, if you will, the translation, the one known as The Message by Eugene Peterson. This is how he interpreted it. The apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. But the master said, you don't need more faith. There's no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say to the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it. Suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say, sit down and eat? Wouldn't you be more likely to say, prepare dinner, change your clothes, wait table for me until I've finished my coffee, then go to the kitchen and have your supper there? Does the servant get special thanks for doing what's expected of him? Well, it's the same with you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say the work is done. What we were told to do, we did. So, the disciples come to Jesus, ask him to increase their faith. And right before this, Jesus had been teaching them about forgiveness. So perhaps their request has to do with their difficulty with forgiving others. Because that's something I can identify with. I really have a hard time with forgiveness, especially when it comes to those who would trample on other people. I have a hard time when it comes to leaders who so blatantly do harm to others. Forgiveness may be the hardest thing that Jesus asks of us. And so maybe the disciples think that if they just had a little more faith, forgiveness would come easier for them. But Jesus says to them, no, only a little faith is needed. You know, faith the size of a poppy seed in Peterson's translation, or mustard seed in the one we're used to. A very small seed. And with just that small amount of faith, great things can happen. Matthew, his version of this particular saying of Jesus, he said, mountains can be moved. But here it's not quite as grandiose. Just that pesky sycamore tree can be moved into the ocean. I don't know a lot about sycamore trees. I can't even tell one tree from another, really. But I love trees. I loved driving up here and seeing the beginnings of the color change. What's it going to be, another week or 2 weeks, and it'll be at its height? That's when Door County really is so beautiful. Well, it's beautiful all the time, but anyway, I did not know a lot about sycamore trees, but apparently once their roots get going, they go very deep, and are next to impossible to dig up. So, Jesus seems to be saying that the amount of faith is not what is important. Perhaps it has more to do with what we do with the faith that we have. Then Jesus has this rather odd saying about a master and a servant. I wish he wouldn't have thrown this in there. What a person would do and would not do if they were a master, and what a servant would or would not do if they were a servant. It's difficult for me because I wish he would have told us that it's not right to have masters and slaves. But instead, he seems to say that if our place in life is as a master, then that's how we should act. And if we are a servant, then we do what servants do. The master is not seen as greater than the servant. They just have different tasks to do. That's the image that Jesus gives to us. So even though I don't like that particular kind of an image, let's go with it, recognizing that we don't support the concept of slavery one little bit, and that we will try to make sense of what Jesus has to say about how we use the gifts that we have been given. And this is when I began to think about the idea of healing the world. Healing the world is a concept that comes down to us today from the ancient Jewish world, whereby the folks of the Old Testament felt that God compelled them to be about the task of bringing healing to the whole world. It sounds like such a huge thing to do. My goodness. We have such a hard time doing our little bit in our little sphere of influence. I think about politicians and our Congress cannot even keep their own government functioning, let alone fixing the whole world. I mean, wasn't it just this week that they had to vote to again approve the spending that they already voted to spend? Now the bill comes due, now they have to vote again, and then they will only do it for 2 or 3 months. Seems like a broken system to me. How then are we ever going to go about repairing something that's so badly broken as the whole world? Especially when you have a major power like Russia declaring war. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean a military action on the Ukraine. And then this week has the audacity to foist an election fraud upon them. And so in spite of the reference to masters and slaves, what I hear Jesus suggesting is that each one of us has been given a part to play. We each have gifts and talents, and he asks us to use what we've been given. Whatever we've been given to do, we're called upon to do it as well as we can, whether big or small, important or unimportant. We each have faith, as small as a tiny seed, perhaps, a very small seed indeed, but every seed has the potential to grow if it is planted and nurtured. And so we cannot say that we do not have faith or a potential or a place in life. For each of us has a part in healing the world. I found this story this week written by a Presbyterian pastor about her visit with a colleague called Kristen. Kristen's mother died this year of a brain tumor. The disease affected her in different ways throughout her illness. Kristen and her mother both loved to knit, but her mother was beginning to have great difficulty with her knitting. So Kristen's dad asked her to teach him how to knit so that he could help her mother, his wife. Well, Kristen did teach him. And at this point in the story, Kristen reached in the closet and brought out a knitted clergy stole. Her dad had knitted it for her. And on one end, he began with a sort of wine-colored yarn, and it was pretty rough knitting. Some skipped stitches, a bit uneven. And then he went to a variegated yarn with other colors, And as he knitted, he got better, and it looked smoother. He would even try out different stitches as he went along. And then at the neck, he tried a ribbed stitch, and by the time he got to the bottom of the second side and finished up with the white yarn, the white wine yarn again, the wine yarn again, his stitches were looking so much better. Her dad said that this stole was for her to use at weddings when she performed at weddings. He said that that the stole was a picture of marriage. Some rough places, some smooth, some difficulties that changed everything, and then some lovely moments. And I found that to be a wonderful story for us to think about. The person who wrote about this poem then said, "So I thought Kristen's dad was healing the world with this small act of learning how to knit so he could help her mom. He took his role as husband very seriously. He did what he could. He did not try to be her doctor or her pastor or to fill some other role in life. And his faith was enough to move away the sycamore tree of his wife's inability to knit any longer. And in the process, he gave Kristen a wonderful gift and a story to tell." Well, back to our gospel lesson. Jesus is asking us in this odd little story to do what we can. He's not asking us to be something we're not. And if we take up this challenge and do what we can, we will be contributing to the healing of the world. Instead of a story about slavery, I like to see it as a story about using our faith for the purpose of healing. There will be times when we want to do more. Times when we're angry because we cannot do what everyone else is supposed to do. But that's not our work. I must be the best me that I can be, and I must do the work given to me. I can get involved in that. I cannot do someone else's work. When I let this thought work on my emotions, sometimes I can get pretty heated up by our dysfunctional society today. Why are some so intent on denying good things for those who are on the fringes, such as health care for millions? Why are they so obsessed with a law that has already been passed that health care, that they are still, after all these years, trying to kill it? Why are we talking about revisiting Medicare and Social Security every few years? But then I realize it's not within my capability to change the thoughts and the ideas of other people, other than letting them know that I sure don't agree with it and that it makes me kind of angry. And then I realize that my responsibility rather is to heal where I can, do the work given to me, to care about those around me. And in so doing, I am contributing to the healing of the world. This week it becomes my responsibility to support efforts to bring healing, to bring relief, health care, and whatever other resources are needed to those in the southeast from the assault of Hurricane Ian. It becomes my responsibility to do what I can to bring healing. I can't go down and string power lines. I can't go down and bring food, but I can contribute. I can give of what I can of my resources to help. Today, much of the church is celebrating World Communion Sunday. You will share in that sacrament, I'm thinking, next Sunday, as soon as Pastor Don returns. We remember that the church around the world is connected by this common sacrament that is served at this table. No matter about all our other differences, today, for you on an upcoming Sunday, many will come to the table because it is Christ who has invited us to come and be fed. It is a healing thing that we do at the table as we celebrate oneness in Christ. Friends, we have enough faith. Let us continue to learn how to nurture that seed of faith that we have been given so that it will grow. For as our faith grows, we will be able to discern our part as servants, as masters, as children of God, equally in healing the world around us. May God grant us that grace. Amen. We turn now to the prayers of the church, and I believe that you have the practice of sharing any concerns you may have at this time. If anybody wishes to share a concern and say it out loud, but if it's in your heart, that's fine too. God knows our hearts. So anybody like to share any prayer requests? I certainly would begin with a prayer for Pastor Don. Anyone?
For all those in the Southeast.
For all those in the Southeast.
And also for my Aunt Lucille.
Aunt Lucille. Thank you for those. Would you join me, please, in a time of prayer, and then we will conclude with the prayer our Lord taught us. God, God of all things, great, all things great, but God of all things small also, we bring to you our joys and our concerns, our prayer requests spoken and unspoken, the triumphs and tragedies of our lives. We bring all of this to you, and all are stitched together like a quilt into a thing of beauty and utility when it's under your hand. Yet, sometimes for us, the larger perspective is hidden from our eyes. Reveal your will for our lives in all the events that take place that we share, whether they're planned or accidental. Open our hearts to those circumstances that we can change. Write words of comfort in the deep places of our souls for those circumstances that we cannot change. We pray that we may see the world through the eyes of faith. We know you as a God of history, abiding with your people through all generations. And so we have inherited a faith so strong that we ought to be able to move mountains. Often, we do not seek to know nor desire to move beyond our own comfort level. Forgive us, and in forgiving, guide us into the places of wisdom that we might see that all people are our brothers and sisters, all suffering is our own, and all are in the presence of Christ. We pray this morning for all those who are suffering loss of life, of friends and relatives in the Southeast, loss of home, loss of all things tangible for them. We pray for Aunt Lucille, and we pray for all those prayer requests that were not vocalized aloud. And so finally, O Lord, may we move mountains in your name. May the valleys be filled, and may every path be made straight, that your glory should be known the world over. For we pray this in the name of the Christ who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lucan Gospel, as we read the story of Jesus moving from Galilee into Jerusalem, moving towards the time of the end, he focuses intently on the core of his mission, which is to share the love of God with the world and to make of it a more just society. He works to make sure that his disciples and that we, as today's disciples, understand that this is also our mission. We're called to make a difference in the world now. Amen.